This episode of Football 301, Matt Harmon joins me. Little awards previews, MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Protector of the Year, all the good stuff, plus division winners, wildcard picks, Super Bowl finalists. We even go a whole bracket preview on the playoffs on this show. Very, very fun with Matt. See you guys in a sec. Hello and welcome back to Football 301. I am your host, Nate Tice. Very, very fun show today because we are in week one. Yes, we finally have our first weekend of NFL games, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, and Monday. Doesn't stop with the NFL. But in a continuation of our preview series, we finished the division previews. Make sure you check out all eight of those XXL-sized episodes. We are going to be predicting some awards, some playoff teams, wild cards included, some Super Bowl winners. Yes, we're going through MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, all the good stuff. And to help me do that today, my guy, Mr. Matt Harmon. How you doing today, Matt?
Nate, I'm doing great. I'm ready for week one, man. I was just saying this to my buddy James Coe today that I feel... Actually, first I said it to my chiropractor today because she's got a fantasy draft coming up on Wednesday. So talking a little ball, you know, before get everything snapped into place here. And I was like, yeah, you know, I always love week one because you just get to start seeing how many things you get wrong immediately. You know, just your takes get thrown right back in your face. And I weirdly feel, especially like my player specific takes, I feel a lot of confidence on this year, which means I'm going to be more like wrong than ever before. So if you've been tailing me on any players I like this year, I'm sorry to say that it is going to go disastrously wrong. But that is what week one's all about, man. So I cannot wait for that like big reveal here in just a few short days.
And as we know, week one matters 10 times as much as any other week, as True. Far as impressions, you know, wins, losses, all that. It counts 10 times as much as any other week. Where do you get the chiropractor focus, or is it an all body kind of thing? Because our third co-host might need a little help there as well. If anyone's wondering, yeah. Poor Charles is out. He's on IR. He's on 3-day IR a little bit as he gets his back recouped. He's a little
He's out, in the so immortal chamber. Stafford's out. Charles McDonald is in the immortal chamber. We just managed to get the funds together to finance it for a lowly $3,000 a month. So we
had to make sure the acoustics were okay.
Shout out to the funds here.
Yeah, we had to fit it in his New York City apartment. Yeah, but no, hope Chuck's okay. We'll hear from Chuck again soon when we preview week one games on Thursday, which will be a lot of fun. I'm even throwing that Friday game too. That's happening in Brazil because that's going to be a juicy game as well. Anyone else is juicy? Yeah, look at that segue. Also, you got to check us out on the Yahoo Sports Network, our brand new streaming TV channel. Yahoo Sports Network is available to stream on leading fast services. It's also streaming live 24/7 on yahoosports.tv, where you can catch all of the shows on your phone or on your browser. So make sure to check out the Yahoo Sports Network wherever you can. All right. So we're going to do awards predictions, MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Protector of the Year, which will be a fun discussion. The other ones, comeback player, coach of the year, I'm not going to predict those. Those are the ones that's really, you got to see how the season plays out. It's so hard. It's just might as well just be a fun preview segment if you want to look at it that way. So we also might throw in some other superlatives at the end of the show, see how much time we have. But before we do that, we're going to look at playoff teams. We predicted all the division winners on our preview series, but you know, some of those were three-man weaves. Some of them were just two-man shows. So there might be some interesting new additions here on the preview series. But we got wildcard teams. We got seeds. We're going to play this all out. Producer Stone wanted to do a little fan fiction here, go through the entire bracket, which he asked if I had the games played out to get to our Super Bowl winner. I said, yes, I actually did do it. So I was able to copy and paste it from my notes. So it's kind of perfect. Kind of played out chalky anyways. But first, let's just go with your AFC teams, Matt. 1-7, who are you predicting to make the dance on the AFC?
All right, so I have number one seed, Baltimore Ravens, number two, Kansas City Chiefs, number three, the Buffalo Bills, number four, the Houston Texans. My three wild card teams are Broncos, Chargers, Jaguars, in that order. So I am fully drinking the Jacksonville Jaguars Kool-Aid here, and they're my final AFC wild card team.
What you're manifesting with the Jaguars, you're just like, sure. I'm willing this to be
I'm helping you out. One of us had their quarterback as a top 10 quarterback this year, so I'm if anything, this that. Is you've got way more at stake on this Jacksonville Jaguars thing than I do. I have a fascination with the receivers and the head coach. You're more embedded with this Jaguars thing than I am. You go from you have a ban on them, we're not talking about the Jaguars, to Trevor Lawrence still top 10 quarterback. Manifesting this for you, pal.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I get some of the collateral love. I know I couldn't put all my eggs in one basket here. I'll go through my AFC teams and you'll see who my seven seed is, and you'll see what I mean about manifesting some things. Same top five: Ravens 1, Chiefs 2, Bills 3, Texans 4, Broncos 5. Then my other two wild card teams, I have the Steelers at 6. I'm a believer in that defense, even if it's elderly. I do think they just have a lot of juice up front, and they just have a lot. They just have a lot of good talent. And I actually think the offense could be okay. Even though I know I'm not saying good, but I think okay enough to get that 6 seed. 7, going with the Patriots. So that is a bet on Drake May taking a leap, the defense, and a very easy schedule. That is also a part of this where, you know, some of what Vrabel's doing is a little interesting. I'm keeping my eye on it because, you know, Vrabel's now playing games with Jabril Peppers, cut him after they say they're going to trade Kyle Duggar for a couple weeks, which actually made sense because of scheme stuff. But now Peppers is cut, and I don't know. I'm just Vrabel's talking about rats. I'm like, you're doing a lot of Belichick shtick right now without a lot of the, like, I don't know, the reason behind it, I guess. Not that Belichick had a great weekend anyways to emulate, but that's my 7 for the AFC. Not enough about TCU, North Carolina blowouts. Let's move on to the NFC. This one, I think, is wide open. I could have made a case for 13 teams to make the NFC playoffs, and I could even bump that up to 14 if I include the Panthers, maybe interesting friskiness there. But your NFC teams, 1 through 7, Matt, who'd you got?
Yep, I've got the Eagles at 1, Packers at 2, 49ers at 3. I have the Panthers at 4. I have them winning the NFC South. Only NFCs. I feel a little less good about this after, Jalen Coker goes on IR.
Because why? Please tell me why you feel less good about this.
Yeah, right.
Is it because their left tackle just got his appendix taken out?
Their left tackle gets their appendix taken out. Jalen Coker's on IR. I don't know if you saw this or we tweet this over the weekend, but my wife and I always do take a little end of summer wine trip. This year we actually go to the we went to like the Linden, Virginia area, so it's pretty close to like Shenandoah National Park. Yeah. We hike all the way up to the peak of Stony Mountain. I literally pull up my phone to take a picture, and I get the notification Jalen Coker is on IR in that exact moment. I almost threw my phone and myself off the cliff after getting that. It just, what a horrible time. But anyways, I think they withstand that after bringing Hunter Renfro back, and they win the NFC South. I just think it's such a weird division this year. Then I've got the three wild card teams.
It is.
I've got Lions, Commanders, Rams. I probably should have said this to Producer Stone, but I think it makes more sense if I go Lions, Rams, Commanders, just with the way I'm going to flow the rest of the show. But yeah, so Commanders sneak in as the 7th seed there.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think the NFC is wide open. That's so perfect. My Panthers comment, and then you actually had them in your playoffs. That's even better. I don't think anyone has had this. This is like when a couple years ago, when the 49ers were rolling, and then Brock Purdy got banged up and he had a concussion, and he was like one of the first guys to come back after just a week with being diagnosed with a concussion. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, Sam Darnold's going to play in the 49ers offense. Like, people are tweeting at me, or like by happenstance, like happy for me. That's how I felt when Adam Thielen got traded. And I felt like a lot of people reached out to you as a Jalen Coker believer and fan. I also like Jalen Coker a lot, but that I just thought that as well. When Thielen got traded, I don't think so. I've saw so many people were just happy for Matt Harmon and his Jalen Coker love and affinity. And then it just all got taken right back from you, which, yeah, it's cruel. Yeah.
It was a fun 48 hours.
It was. Everybody was a winner. Thielen seemed happy. He was celebrating with his wife and family to go back to Minnesota. If you don't know this about Minnesotans, because I can claim them halfway, and I'm also like Seattleite too, and I got a little New Yorker in there, is that Minnesotans love them some Minnesota. They love being back in Minnesota and not leaving Minnesota and staying in the Twin Cities or wherever they're from in Minnesota and going to their cabin in Minnesota and going to college somewhere and then coming back to Minnesota. So I'm sure Adam Thielen was very happy to be back inside the Twin Cities. But all right, my NFC teams wide open. I had the same top two though. Eagles one, Packers two. I would have had the Packers two even before the Micah Parsons trade. So how about that? So yeah, I'm not just a Johnny come lately with them. All right, Seahawks three. Yeah. Bucks four, Vikings five, Cardinals six. I'm a caricature of myself. And the Bears seven. Just a lot I wanted to make cases for. I think this, if you had the Lions in there and I don't, I think they're going to be right in there. I just think maybe some tiebreakers, some funkiness happens this season. I truly just think this NFC is so wide open. It's not that I'm a total disbeliever. It's just that I just want to have more fun cases to talk to. And also, this is a stat that's widely shared. For the past 35 years, there have been four new playoff teams compared to the previous season. So my four teams were Patriots, Seahawks, Cardinals, and Bears. Just had a, just thread that needle, make it make sense. I think the 49ers defense and the Rams defenses give me a little bit of worry. And that's why I kind of came off of them. But again, this is stuff that after a month, I'll put my foot right back in my mouth. Like if 49ers defense could show they can stop the run, Michael Williams hits the ground running, they got those young guys that maybe I'm more mid-ish on, like show up early to help out that defense. I am a believer in the offense, no matter who's catching passes, no matter what. I think Shanahan can create a top 10 offense out of nothing. I really do. But that's just that defense gives me worry. And so that's kind of how I was framing all this, is who do I think can have a top 10, top 12 offense? Who can have a top 10, top 12 defense? That's basically how I kind of gauge all these teams. And then the Rams, same thing. Stafford seems like he's good to go, but again, it's the back. Got to see with Alaric Jackson. And then just the defensive back end gives me, again, worries. It's just one weakness that I think other teams maybe don't have in their division and maybe in the conference. So that's, if you're curious, and then Commanders, well, I'm sure we'll talk plenty about, but same stuff, defensive worries more than anything. I think Jane Daniels is going to be great. I just think that just a little worried about that defense and maybe a little bit of other drop-offs from like the veteran team, but we'll see. I think the Lions is pretty controversial though. So any Lions fans want to yell at me about it, totally get it. Because the defense I think is still going to be good. I still think the offense got plenty of good stuff, but I know you have those teams on there. So
yeah, I think the Lions are a team that could finish top 10, top 12 in offense and defense. So that was why, to me, they still made sense as a fifth seed. And I think as much as I'm bullish on the Packers, I don't think I'm so bullish on the fact that they'll like run away with the division. Although I guess I think this will be very competitive. And the Vikings were a team that I've toyed. This is like classic, maybe week one, like right at the edge of week one, like second guessing everything I thought this offseason.
Yeah.
And you have the Vikings as a playoff team. Yeah. totally. Because to me, I've thought about the Vikings all year. It's like, well, yeah, they've always been great. As a passing team statistically under Kevin O'Connell's watch, since 2022, they're seventh as a team in yards per pass attempt. And it's like, most of it's Kirk Cousins. Then it's like Sam Darnold and then Nick Mullins and Josh Dobbs. So it's been a lot of different guys. But now it's an inexperienced quarterback, whatever. So maybe they'll take a small step back. But what if like JJ McCarthy's just good? What if the first round quarterback is good? You know, and I think that part hasn't been discussed enough. Where it's been like, well, it is a first year starter. But yeah, again, like, what if he just comes out and he's better than Sam Darnold was last year? I realize that sounds crazy now, but if you had said that 365 days ago, nobody would have thought that was crazy, because Sam Darnold was not a good quarterback. He'd never strung together like a month's worth of good, consistent play prior to being with the Minnesota Vikings. He'd had moments, but I'm talking like a full month. That had never happened in his career. So they were a team to me that I really second guessed, like not putting them in over the Commanders or the Rams, who are the two teams I'm most suspicious on in my like playoff bracketing. So yeah, to me, that was definitely something that stood out, the difference between us. One area, Nate, I think is interesting that we're in lockstep on. Neither one of us has the Bengals missing the playoffs or making the playoffs. And this would be the third year in a row they've missed. Like, I think then we start to have some pretty uncomfortable conversations about like, okay, are the right people in charge here? Like, what are the, are there changes that need to happen here? Because the Bengals have basically just been running the same old thing. And not, and I don't, I like some of the way they've, you know, done the contract stuff, everything like that, the way they've built the team, that's kind of beside the point. But just like, hey, we have a great quarterback, we have a great offense, we'll figure the rest out later. Well, if you're 3 years in a row not figuring it out, like, then I, again, I think that that gets to a pretty uncomfortable point from a team level perspective.
My one thing is that it's they're the Bengals, and if you fire a coach, you have to pay the coach still while you pay coach, and that's why I think no matter to Bengals to me, and maybe I'm just like I said it so much in stone, and then when I watched them preseason, I'm like, yep, where I'm good with them is I really do trust the offense. Like, I feel as good about the Bengals offense. I know so many people will even want more than what they've already shown, but I just trust it so much. And I trust that this defense is going to be bad. I know that's not fair. We have so many surprises year in, year out. But when I look at the personnel, when I look at the coach, who, no offense to Al Golden, but he's never coordinated NFL defenses, and what I saw from the preseason, and then when I'm reading, I'm like, no way this defense is good. I don't think this defense can even sniff top average. And so that's where, all right, I've seen this. Maybe it's just me just like, okay, set in stone, this is what they are. They're, to me, in my head, 8-9, 9-8, locked in. Like one of those two records, and then it's just going to be based on what everybody else does if that 9-8 makes the playoffs. So it's like, and maybe that's not fair to the Bengals, but I do think I love the offense. I really do, and I can't wait to see it this year and love what Joe Burrow can do. But like, you know, Marvin Lewis was there from 2003 to 2018. You know, I think that no matter what, they'll get one more year and everything, but I get what you mean. Like, where do the changes come from? Like, the Browns aren't going to fire themselves. You know, so is it just like next year we're just talking about the same exact thing? Oh, Trey Hendrickson's contract. You know, we're doing that the whole story again. You know, are we getting anything out of these young guys? Where is development going to come from? So I don't know. I'm with you. Just get the Bengals for me. I maybe just have that in my head. If it's fair, it's not. I think others are higher on them, but I just feel like the AFC is so tough. That kind of the upper part's so tough. You know, I do not think they're a contender, but even to make the playoffs, they just, that defense can get just picked apart. So it's just gonna be a bunch of shootouts, which I think are coin flips. So 8-9, 9-8. Vikings though, the Vikings, I think I've had more changed feelings on throughout this offseason, where I was super high on them during free agency period. And then there was just kind of the weird, you know, quarterback stuff that turned out to be nothing. You know, Rodgers, Daniel Jones, all this stuff. But, you know, and I was like, okay, what the hell's going on there? And then I kind of got lower on them, but now I've come back around to my original feelings, where my original argument was the thing that made them fall apart was their interior offensive line fell apart last year. The entire offensive line fell apart. Cam Robinson, who just got beat out by a second round rookie in the Texans, from Minnesota, by the way. But I thought they boosted that. So that's going to help the run game. And like you just said with Sam Darnold, even if I like Sam Darnold more than most people, the argument for the Vikings is, okay, if you think Sam Darnold was, do you think J.J. McCarthy can be worse? Or, so are you just thinking, like, do you think J.J. McCarthy is going to be the 20th best quarterback, 22nd, whatever you want to consider him, 16th, somewhere in that starter range? Well, they have a lot of other stuff that's going to help them win games. Coordinator or play caller, Justin Jefferson, a better run game, I think, with that interior offensive line, Jordan Mason helping out, you know, punching in scores from in the red zone and short yardage. I think the defense is interesting. I think we all had him as a top 10 defense. I think that's a unanimous thing. So they added John Allen and Hargrave. And I think maybe their biggest weakness is not even the quarterback, because they're going to be able to, is whether they're going to be able to stop the run consistently. I think that's their biggest weakness more than the quarterback. And I think that's just a weird way to put it. But I've come around on it, where I'm just like, yeah, back to a playoff team. Like, I just went all the way back to my original gut feeling when I first had about them in March or April, when they're kind of putting this team together. So long term, longer discussion, but I think this year they can still make the playoffs. Let's look at those playoff brackets. Who was your Super Bowl pick and Final Four teams? Matt Harmon, let's hear it.
Yeah, Final Four teams was chalk. Ravens, Chiefs, Eagles, Packers. So I'm chalk there, nothing interesting. But I picked Ravens, obviously, to represent the AFC, and then Eagles to represent the NFC. And I've got the Ravens winning the Super Bowl this year. So to me, man, and I think it's going to be a fun game to watch, 31 Ravens, Eagles 28. I just look at this AFC. I don't have AFC North. I don't have any other teams coming out of this division. Baltimore just looks head and shoulders better than all the other teams in this division. So like you have the Steelers in the playoffs. Neither one of us have the Bengals. I don't think you gave any thought to the Cleveland Browns. I certainly did not. To me, it just this Ravens team looks ready to just like. I'm not going to say like run through the AFC, but they're so talented. I think the offense can take another step this year. Lamar Jackson can be right there in contention. I didn't make him one of my MVPs. It's just like, what's the point of saying, what's the point of doing like Lamar Jackson can win the MVP? We know he can win the MVP every year. He's done it twice already, but again, he can have one of those seasons. He can, again, the offense can be better. I love some of the way the defense is evolving. I will talk about a Ravens player at some point in this exercise as a defensive player. But, yeah, man, I just think this Ravens team is really well set up. So I've got them winning the Super Bowl this year.
Well, so do I, Matt. We have the same two finalists. We have the same final four teams. I have the Ravens beating the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I feel really good about the Ravens. Like, and that's having said, I actually feel better about the Chiefs than I think most people, but I, the Bills defense gives me a lot of worry, and that's why I've kind of shied. I love what the offense is going to be. I love Josh Allen. Think he could win back-to-back MVPs. And I wouldn't be shocked. Spoilers. I did not pick him. But I do think that defense just gives me worry. The more I look at it, Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage are good coaches, but it's just kind of like a common theme. Like they try to patch up so much, but I don't think they can go so far. They just have so many question marks for me. So, I went Ravens over Eagles. I think I was tempted to put the Packers in the Super Bowl, tempted, but I kept them as a Final Four team. Kind of went chalky throughout the playoff run. I do think, you know, the Broncos and Vikings could win a game as a wild card team. But I actually thought, I was looking at the NFC, like in my predicted bracket, if you see this on the YouTube show, is Seahawks, Cardinals, and then Packers, Bears, get some division games, you know, in that playoff. I was like, yeah, I'm really right. I'm really fanficking this. I should work for a TV company. send up the structure of the playoffs 6 months in advance. Just looking at this, I feel so good about what the Ravens are. I look at it again, top 10, top 12 offense, which I feel like they're going to be a top 3 offense. And then top 10, top 12 defense. And I feel like they're going to be a top 5 defense. Like it's pretty much comes down to that. Like my biggest question mark is a new kicker and whether Roquan Smith is in shape. Like those are, I mean, seriously, those are just, I'm half being funny, but seriously, those are the biggest questions I have. Okay. But I look at them statistically. I look at who they added this offseason. I know what the offense is. And I like the little small additions. DeAndre Hopkins, is not prime DeAndre Hopkins, but as a role player, he fits what this offense needs.
Still got something.
So it's just, Yeah, it was just, they just have a lot of the answers that I like. Can you run the ball? Can you stop the run? Can you be explosive? And can you stop explosives? I think they check all those boxes. And they got a quarterback that's pretty freaking awesome.
It's just such an obnoxious time to be a Ravens fan, too, because it's like, oh, well, we know all this stuff. And like, I was about to say, oh, they've got the great continuity, too, on top of everything that you just laid out there.
Yes.
They bring back this head coach. Offensive coordinator for the third year in a row, Zach Orr for the second year in a row. And yeah, to me, it's just like, if I was a Ravens fan, I'd be thinking, oh my God. And like, does any of this matter? We're doing this again. Easier path, right? They only have to take on, in your scenario, they only have to take on one of the AFC, you know, superpowers, right? They only got Kansas. Yeah. No disrespect to we both have the Broncos as the fifth seed, which I thought was interesting. But no disrespect to the fifth seed Broncos, you've got them beating in the divisional round. They just got to get through the Chiefs in the AFC championship game, which, law of averages. I know the Chiefs have just obliterated law of averages, but at some point, one of these two other teams, Ravens, Bills, got to break through. Why not this year, where, again, everything is just so, so well set up. Like, really, just that's the thing. They just have to play better in the divisional round of the playoffs, which I think they can do, and then do it again in the conference championship, and then do it again in the Super Bowl. I don't see on paper why that can't happen, Nate.
I think it's, again, it's maybe not fair, but it's like, to me, it's like who on the math on the AFC is just like, yeah, I only can consider the top three teams really the true contenders until the Texans prove they can run the ball and the Broncos can be explosive through the air. And so those are like my two questions. After a month, after 6 weeks, I might be like, yep. Okay. You're added to the contender conversation to me. The NFC though, it's like, whoever. I can make a case. I can make 13 cases, 14 cases to make the playoffs. I can make cases for so many teams to go on a run. You know, and who can find something this season. So that's why I think it's going to be really fun. It's just, I keep reiterating it because I think the two most interesting divisions are the NFC North and NFC West, and for different reasons, but also just interesting units, quarterbacks, just rookies that have to, or second year quarterbacks, rookies that have to be like impact players, new coaches. I just think it's a really, really cool conference that's going to be fun to keep track of, which you can check out on Football 301. Yeah. Find it here. But no, we are going to take our first break and we'll come back with some award predictions. This should be fun. Time to get into some award predictions. We're going to start with the big kahuna, MVP. Let's get into it. Josh Allen won his first MVP award last year. Lamar Jackson has won a few of these. Patrick Mahomes has won a few of these, but I think this is going to be an interesting year to talk about MVP. I think maybe a new name could break through based on how the NFC looks. Continuation of that discussion. But I'll first say Charles. Charles won with Lamar Jackson. Wants to get his MVP3 thrown in there.
Boring.
But Matt, what about your MVP case? Who are you picking? And actually, I'm curious too. It's like, I just want to hear the angle on this.
Yeah, you know, I love to think about like how these will play out from a narrative perspective. And you know, a lot of times the MVP comes from the number one seed, one of the best teams in the league. It's the quarterback from that team. Well, I've got the Philadelphia Eagles as the number one team in the NFC.
Oh.
So Jalen Hurts, MVP 2025. Let's go. Again, I pretty much came into this and said I was not going to pick Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, or Patrick Mahomes, period, end of story. You guys know they could win MVPs. You don't come to Football 301 to hear Patrick Mahomes could be the MVP of the league. Okay. So, and this is like not totally off the board here. It's not the biggest long shot in the world, but Jalen Hurts, it does feel like the big media Q rating is up on Jalen Hurts. He wins a Super Bowl last year. You were just, you know, raked over the coals by a variety of goofballs for not having Jalen Hurts as a top 10 quarterback. So obviously the big media Q rating is up. But I'm not saying they're right. I'm not saying they're right at all. Even though I did have Hurts, I think, is like QB7 or something like that. But like, again, Hurts is like close to that tier within the sort of big media space. All right. So that's a lot of who's going to be voting on this award. If he has another great, if he has a productive season, more productive than he did last year, which I actually think that could happen because the Eagles to me as a team are just so well insulated to chaos, but like again, I saw them as the number one seed in the NFC, but they are a team that could experience some chaos, right? Like last year, their run game is the best in the league. Their defense is, if not the best in the league, right up there. Those two things are a little less sticky year over year. Like what if Saquon Barkley just misses three games this year because he had over 480 touches last year. Typically those guys don't come back the next season and do exactly what they did last year. Maybe he takes a small step back, or again, he misses like 3 weeks, a month of the season, knock on wood. Obviously I don't want that to happen. Nobody wants that to happen, but it's a thing that could happen. The defense, like we know that they have a lot of good young ascending players. Jalen Carter is somebody who could be considered for defensive player of the year this year. I think he's going to win one at one point. He's on the come up. They have Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. Those guys are on the come up as well. But they lost a few of the kind of role players. They lose Darius Slay. They lose some of the guys on the defensive line that we all know from the Super Bowl, Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, etc. Maybe, again, they're not the first best defense in the league. They're the seventh best, eighth best, whatever. Still a top 10 unit, but the passing game has to inherit more of the burden. And I just, again, look at who Jalen Hurts is as a quarterback. He's not perfect. He doesn't do all of the things that we love to see that Mahomes and Lamar Jackson or even like a Matthew Stafford. He doesn't have like the crazy highlight throws of a Matthew Stafford. He maybe doesn't have the peaks of some of those guys. And he certainly has, again, weaknesses in his own game. But he's really good at what he's good at. Like, pinning the ball accurately on go routes, outside the numbers passes. He has the receivers to do it. The numbers could be there for Jalen Hurts. So it could certainly be one where like the nerds are arguing with the big media bros or whatever. But at the end of the day, Jalen Hurts comes down with the MVP because he takes a step forward as a quarterback who's still in that portion of his career where he can take a step forward.
No, I totally get this. Like you said, it has to be a guy that has some name recognition with it. Well, why not the defending Super Bowl MVP? That helps. Also, in the weirdest way, the team having less success around him would help Hurts. And I don't just mean like wins and everything, but also like guys getting hurt. Like he already lost his left guard, Landon Dickerson. Tyler Steen is a question mark. I do like him, but we'll see. He is a question mark at right guard. What if Lane Johnson gets hurt? You know, he has missed time over the years. What if he gets hurt? What if AJ Brown, who's missed most of training camp with a hamstring injury, missed time? Like you said, the defense dropping off. It's such an easier argument when you say it's a good defense instead of it's the best defense. You know, if you're arguing against, yes, that it's just, hey, we're talking narratives here. That's what these awards are. They have to be part of the narrative. I'm with you that I think the Eagles are as much of a lock to be a playoff team as you can be. You know, and I just think that they are a one or a two seed this year. So obviously they're going to get the wins that get you into this discussion. So I see the argument with Hurts. And I just think, like you said, it's a kind of a new blood year. That's what it kind of feels like. It's a transition year in the league. And I feel like we're getting voters and people, including us. I mean, you should even hear me talk about playoff teams. If that's fair or not to previous winners or previous good teams, it's like, it feels like a new blood year. Like it just feels like somebody new wins this award as opposed to maybe one of the stalwarts of the NFL. Having said that, I went with Jordan Love as my MVP winner because of the same exact discussion. New blood year, who is the same odds right now, I believe, on BetMGM. He is plus 1800 and Jalen Hurts is also plus 1800. So we're shopping in the same aisle here. And Packers, for both of us, had him as a two seed. I think Charles had them. Oh, no, Charles for sure had him as the NFC North winner, and I feel like he's high on them as well. So there's the team success. In the weirdest way, the Micah Parsons trade could bring Jordan Love attention, you know, where it's, oh, yeah, so there's so many eyeballs on the Packers right now. They always are. It's a national team. It's a global team. But now it's just really those, oh, this is a contender now. And if Jordan Love, who I did think played really well this year, even with the injuries, maybe if people think he is inconsistent, he's not as wild and as inconsistent as you think. He just has some nuclearly bad moments, like against the Rams where he throws the pick six as he's falling backwards. Rams or Chargers, I knew it was in LA. Throwing backwards, he throws the pick six. But that's his play style. He's a high wire act, but he's a lot safer than I think people realize. It's just an aggressive offense that's downfield, downfield. I'm very high on the Packers. Think this is a top 10 offense. Think even it doesn't matter who the receivers short out. I think they have enough to get it together. Even with Jaden Reed getting his ninth doctor's opinion on an injury and playing through it, I think Matthew Golden's going to be a nice addition. I think it's going to be a good run game. And not only do I think the offensive line is going to be good, I think the offensive line has depth, which will help, you know, from the bottom falling out. So that's why I just think that Jordan Love is going to have more consistency, at least perspective, you know, from national perspective of consistency or perception, I should say. So Jordan Love, think there's team success, think that he's going to put the numbers. It's an offense that gets it, racks him up touchdowns because of the red zone designs as well. So yeah, that's where I'm going with, which he was 25-1 a few weeks ago, even before the Parsons trade. And then he was 20-1 and now he's 18-1. And then now I see other places than BetMGM, he's 14-1. So it seems that he's become a popular name, but maybe it's the Parsons thing, or maybe people are realizing that he has some juice to him. So Jordan Love, Packers, high on them. We'll see.
I like it. I like it a lot.
You like it? Phew. Because I know you love Matthew Golden, right? That's why, right? It's just he's going to open up that offense. That's why I'm bullish on. I think you and I have kind of painted the picture of how he could help. And I maybe he's a little bit more tangible. That, like, as far as how he actually affects it as opposed to how he helps others, that, yeah, maybe that's going to really juice it up a little bit. All right, Charles went with Lamar. Now let's get on to Offensive Player of the Year. I'm excited to talk about this one because I want to see what aisle you shop down here, Matt Harmon, for Offensive Player of the Year this year.
I went with CeeDee Lamb, Dallas Cowboys, a team that I do not have making the playoffs, a team that I think the Cowboys could still make the playoffs, by the way. They weren't a team like I totally was going to cross out. I think they belong somewhere in that group of contenders there. They could really be a team that, look, I don't think the defense is going to be as good as I thought it was going to be a week ago.
Better for offensive
stats. I didn't think I'd get better. Exactly correct. Chase won this award last year, right? And again, like team success doesn't necessarily have to be a part of this. And I really think the Cowboys now, I remember when I was doing the Carnival Teams episode with Scott Pienowski on the fantasy show earlier this year. I was like, see, I don't think the Cowboys can be that, because like as long as Micah Parsons is there, their defense will be they'll be some level of respectable. They won't completely fall off the cliff. Well, guess what, gang? Micah Parsons isn't there anymore. I think this defense now could officially just be not good. Like, I think it could be not good. Maybe not. Yeah. Kenny Clark didn't move the needle for me that much, but I guess they're going to stop the run, allegedly. But no, I think this defense won't be like 2024 Bengals bad, but I do think it could be the type of unit that puts the Cowboys in situations where they have to air the football out. I thought they were already going to have to air the football out anyways because of the defense being maybe mid at best. They don't have a great I think the run game will be acceptable, but they don't have like a, hey, we're putting the ball in the hands of this running back 20 plus times a game. Right. So again, I think they're going to be a pass-centric offense. And just watching CeeDee Lamb last year, I've never seen a guy who's not a slot only player, of course, but a slot mostly player get that much extra defensive attention. Cause you know this, Nate, like when a guy's a perimeter receiver, it's so much easier to like double cover, bracket, and like account for that guy. You really got to go out of your way as a defense to break your rules and stuff like that to account for the movement Z/mostly slot guy. Teams were 100% willing to do it for CeeDee Lamb last year because there was nothing going on the perimeter, at least nothing scary going on the perimeter. George Pickens being there will have them second guessing some of that, which I think, again, will only make things better for CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, I know. I love this. He's 20-1 right now about MGM, and I totally get this argument. I think this is a receiver can win as much as a running back award. You know, that you have to put up a special season, you know, 1,500 receiving yards or so, 10 touchdowns is how I look at it if a receiver wins it. And I think this is what you're saying is CeeDee and Dak have some of the best chemistry of any pairing, quarterback and receiver pairing. And he's going to pepper them. I think the offense, yeah, they'll run the ball, but I also think they're going to run a lot of quick game because that's what Schottenheimer is used to. And also, Dak likes, which means more targets, means more quicker passes, more receptions, just juicing up the numbers. This is a stats award. It's an outstanding stats or fantasy football league winner award. That's what this award has
Barkley
become.
Barkley won it last year. I misspoke about Chase, but Barkley won it last year. But yeah.
But I mean, Jamar Chase put it up there too. And Derrick Henry had a huge year. Close. I mean, the guys that won people a lot of fantasy football, football titles. So for me, it was just, you know, narrowing it down. CeeDee is one of those guys that I looked at. I really looked at receivers this year because I just thought the running back cases were harder to build. And also not a lot of people repeat this award. I think the last back-to-back winner is Marshall Faulk, from the 90s and into the aughts. Yeah, I know. And so CMC could be juicy, but Bijan Robinson was one I looked at. But the O-line injury is a little scary, and the offense maybe, and this is, I love Bijan. I would have maybe draft from player one in fantasy. But the offense expanding to highlight Penix and London, I think maybe just hinders some of his stats. You know, as a running back, you kind of need that 2,000 total yards, which he might hit. But I think the passing game with him might temper down a little bit as a kind of a get more separation with the run game and the pass game with him. So I went with the receiver. Also in the state of Texas, but I went with Nico Collins at 18-1.
Oh, hell yeah.
I know I don't have to twist your arm. I know you can. I could probably stop talking. You could build the case for me here,
I'll leave this to you, buddy.
No, the pace that he was on last year until he got hurt, I want to say, was that 6 weeks or so? Until he got hurt, he was, to me, the offensive player of the year winner or leader in the clubhouse because of the stats he was putting up. He was far and away the most productive receiver. He was, I mean, scoring touchdowns, receptions, big plays. He was one of the fastest players in the NFL last year. He was absolutely tearing it up. And just of your argument about CeeDee Lamb and how like George Pickens and other parts of the offense can boost his numbers in a way, think that with Nico, with the two young guys from Iowa State, Higgins and Knoll, and also Christian Kirk. I don't think the offense lines can be great, but you know, doesn't matter. You know, that's not CJ Stroud I'm arguing for here, or it's not Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, or whoever's in the backfield, Woody Marks. I'm, trying to build up the case here for, it's Nico Collins. And I think he is a guy that's going to get touchdowns because he gets designs there. He has a play style that gets touchdowns that matters to win this award. I think he can get the production there. This is an offense that will highlight the X, but also move him around a little bit. And I think just be able to get more eyeballs off of him is just going to help boost him up. And also just, you know, some of the teams that they play, he's going to have some prominence. They should be a good team as well. But Nico Collins, 18-1. What do you think about that one, Matt Harmon? I was a little scared we might have the same one because I know you are you are a Nico Collins believer.
Yeah. I love Nico. Don't twist my arm on this one at all. Week one Texans offense is one of the ones I can't wait to get my eyeballs on, just simply to see if not obviously to see how the offensive line holds up, like whether the rules are enough to like get the protection where it needs to be. But yeah, where Nico Collins lines up, because I've talked about this a lot, despite the fact he's been a league leader in yards per out run the last 2 years, 3.0. He's been as productive on a per route basis as any wide receiver, and yet he has been playing more X receiver than any of these other guys, like Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, all these guys, AJ Brown, even in the Eagles offense, all these guys get to move around way more than Nico Collins does. So I'm curious, like, does that change this year with a new offensive coaching staff? Yeah. I think it will. Like, even him being I know this sounds like such small, minute details, but even him going from a 80 to 85% outside on the line of scrimmage player, if he even goes to like 70% of both, like, we're talking about, that's a serious change. And that's where you can get, that's what happened with Ja'Marr Chase last year too, again, come in like the second place winner for this award. So yeah, I'm with you. I mean, shoot, Nico Collins absolutely can do this year.
How about that? Receivers in the state of Texas, big 12 country. You know, oh no, now it's SEC country now, but I was going to say, but you know, big 12, put up those passing numbers in our hearts. No, all right, let's move on to defense. This one should be interesting. This is one of my kind of do maybe a dark horse section in these superlatives or predictions. And I'd always say my dark horse was just pick an off ball defender. And I said it last year, mm-hmm. and Patrick Surtain finally wins it. So now that one just goes away. So now it's just pick guys that get sacks. That's kind of how I've narrowed down my list. But I'm curious, Charles. Also, I should say for offense player of the year, he had Ja'Marr Chase. So we went receiver, receiver, receiver. Defensive player of the year, Charles went Micah Parsons. Matt, how about you? Who did you go with for defensive player of the year?
I will go with, I'm going to follow kind of a similar blueprint to what I did with my Aiden Hutchinson pick last year. Third year pass rusher on a defense that I expect to take a lead, where the quarterback is not going to win MVP, where I actually think the defense, even more so than with the Lions last year and Aiden Hutchinson, I think the defense will take a bigger burden than the offense in Houston. And that is why Will Anderson will be the defensive player of the year this year. Just again, third year leap for a guy who's already been an awesome player. Obviously Danielle Hunter might take a little bit of attention away from him because he's another great pure pass rusher, will rack up a lot of sacks, but Will Anderson in some highlight games, big moments. I think he could lead the league in sacks this year, and if you're going to push for the league leader in sacks, you're going to push to be the defensive player of the year. And I wanted to go a little off. I'm with you that I don't want to just go with like the easy names for this one, so I don't really want to go for the easy names for any of them. I've been trying to go a little bit off the radar, so yeah, Will Anderson, give me the odds on that one.
Yeah, I have a disappointing pick, but talk about Will Anderson, who was my runner-up selection, I would say. Kind of the one I almost built a case for as well. Everything you say, this is a Texans team that has a chance to have the best defense, which helps a little bit. You know, defense player of the year, you can win. Yeah. I mean, shoot, Myles Garrett won. You can win on bad teams or iffy defenses. But yeah, Khalil Mack won when he was on some bad Raiders defenses. Will Anderson, I love this. I think it's going to be an outstanding defense. He can get sacks, and he's good against a run, so you can get some of those TFL numbers as well. At the end of the year, you're like, you know, basically what we do every awards thing is just go like, okay, let's count these numbers. Oh, look at that pressure rate. Anderson's productive. You said Danielle Hunter is the one that can hinder him a little bit because he eats some of those numbers as well. But I've really liked this pick. He was actually the one I almost built a case for, but I didn't because I went chalk. I went Micah Parsons. And I will say, I was going to go Micah Parsons before he got traded to the Packers. So this was a lot better when it was two separate teams for my MVP and my defensive player of the year pick. But now they're on the same team, the Green Bay Packers, and I don't even have them as a Super Bowl finalist. So we'll see how this all plays out. Skews towards pass rushers. I feel like, again, it's a new blood. I also think he has a lot of narrative right now, not a lot of narrative steam, much like Khalil did when he went to Chicago. And I just think that there's a narrative. We were high on this defense anyways when we did defensive preview shows. And that was before they added Parsons. And so I think he'll have enough help. And I also just think they'll be in so many prominent games. He always puts up numbers. So there's not a thing where it's like he has 8 sacks, but we're all tout and he has 20% pressure rate. It's like, no, he has the nerd numbers. He has the box score numbers. He has the impact numbers that get highlights or impact moments that get highlights. He's on a team that's going to win games, even if that doesn't matter so much. It can't hurt. And also on a team that could have leads because they have a good offense as well. So he can just pin those ears back and go. Remember, this was one I wanted to go somewhere else, but he hasn't won it yet. So he is new blood. Even if I think I've picked Parsons like the last 3 years I've done a preview show to win defensive player of the year, not changing it now. So Micah Parsons wins his first one going with, even if it's chalk. And Charles went the same way. So we outnumber you. Sorry, Matt.
Hey, I mean, fair enough. I'm not going to fight against Micah Parsons, especially.
I like the Will Anderson one.
You mentioned all the narrative steam like that. That is going to matter when it comes, like when this stuff, it comes down to some of these narratives and that's certainly going to matter here. Yeah. It's just, obviously you guys got to do the Micah Parsons reaction. I didn't, it was just like it's crazy. If I was a Cowboys fan, I'd still be fuming. I don't care what you sell me on or any of the other stuff. Kenny Clark, we're trying to stop the run. I do think my first reaction when they signed Daron Bland over the weekend, I'm like, yeah, to get the guy who like, not really a tackler, kind of a freelancer on the back end after selling that, well, we got to get better at stopping the run. And, you know, Micah maybe freelance. We didn't love the discipline. He's hilarious bit to sign Daron Bland, who's a good player. Not shading Daron Bland, but hilarious bit to sign him immediately right after that. So, I do think, hey, Micah's got a podcast too, so he can be out there, which I've heard is a problem. He's got a podcast. He'd be out there campaigning for his own Defensive Player of the Year award on air.
I, Justice Muscata, a friend of the show who we just refer to, I think every show when we talk about the Packers, had a great tweet like Dallas area and said, we're a little annoyed by his podcast is a little annoying. And it's like Green Bay area. We literally unretire a number that's been retired for 100 years. And the stadium's literally named after him to give it to Micah Parsons. It's just a little difference of opinion right now. But I get it. Cowboys fans, you justify it a little bit. And it's funny to me that when Luka Doncic gets traded, they're like, oh, defense wins championships. And they also just get Cooper Flagg, gift wrapped to him. And then Micah Parsons gets traded and how they sell it is like, well, he can't stop the run, which is like kind of the equivalent of defense wins championships for defensive players. But I think it's funny to me that they draft Mazie Smith, who hasn't done jack in the NFL. And that's the reason that they can't stop the run. And they cycle through linebackers.
It's definitely Micah Parsons' fault that they can't stop the run.
No, but it's Micah Parsons' fault. It's like, what are we doing here? I mean, Leighton Vander Esch was as important to the run for them, and they just haven't figured that out. That's why they got Jack Sanborn, though. There's no justifying it. You left tackles, well, I mean, quarterback, obviously. Quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher. Those are the guys you lock up forever and ever, and you don't ask questions about personality or stopping the run. Those are the guys you lock up for 10 years, and you just don't think twice about it. And then you get pass catcher corner. I mean, look how the Texans are building their team. They trade away Tunsil, but I mean, they got a pass rusher, they got a quarterback, they got a receiver, they got a corner. I mean, they got some young guys, and they're probably going to lock them up for a while. That's what you do. Do you have any dark horse picks for this one? Like, Chris Jones was interesting to me. You know, a little Chiefs redemption year, and maybe the Chiefs defense surprises some people, and people go, you know, Mahomes, all right. But Chris Jones, though, you know, that he was 50-1, so maybe it was just me. My gambling mind went there. Jalen Carter was the other one. I was actually surprised Charles didn't go with Jalen Carter. He's 20-1.
Yeah.
Do you have any others?
Carter was one that I thought about because I think I even said this at one point during the playoff run that, like, that guy's got a Defensive Player of the Year award in him somewhere. Jared Verse is not a dark horse, but he's an interesting name. And it would probably be really, really, really hard for a safety and like just really it's hard for defensive backs to win this in general. But like Kyle Hamilton, I think could at some point have a year where he just has so much production and the Ravens are the best defense in the league and they don't really have, well, We'll see, but they don't really have like one of those featured. They don't have a Micah Parsons. They don't have a Nick Bosa right now. We'll see. Jared Verse. They don't have like one of those guys necessarily. Again, right now coming this season, we'll see. They don't have one of those guys just yet. So hey, we got to give this. Their defense was so damn good. No pass rusher really stepped up. Yeah, Kyle Hamilton, who has maybe like 5 sacks and 6 picks and something like that in a year, he could win it.
And he's got national name recognition now. Like people know about Kyle Hamilton. He just got paid too. I mean, paid big money. Mm-hmm. No, I like that. He's 50-1 right now. I really like that one. Nick Benito's another one, 45-1. If he can rack up some crazy numbers or something, but we'll see. All right, we're going to take a break and then we're going to get back with some other award predictions, some fun ones. Let's get to the rookies. Let's get to the protector of the year. See you guys in a sec. Let's bring it home with some more award predictions. I like talking these ones out, especially this next one. Offensive rookie of the year. Because other than tight end and offensive line, you can really make a case for any skill guy. And then this draft had a lot of skill guys spread out throughout that first round. So I think this is going to be a fun discussion. So Charles went with Cam Ward, which I'll admit was my runner-up for this award. But I understand that. Got a quarterback that goes 1-1. Quarterback, it's about a coin flip to win this award anyway. So I love that choice. You got to have some stats for this one, though. You can't have that like that. 15 touchdown, 13 pick, and your team does okay. You have to have some like good numbers to back it up. So, Matt, who'd you go with? Offensive rookie of the year. I can't wait. sorry, no one's watching a YouTube show. If you're watching a YouTube show, the name popped up right before he said anything, so that was great.
I can't wait too. And
I live my life to put my foot in my mouth. So
no. But here's the thing I can't get out of everything you just said there. Here's the thing I can't get out of my head. I'll never forget the 2019 season when Josh Jacobs has this like badass year as a running back. There are all these like interesting receivers that year, and then like Kyler Murray is the first overall pick. Basically, I mean, he had like a rookie year where he didn't piss down his leg, and it was like, all right, well, Kyler Murray, rookie of the year. I'll never forget that season. So every year I come back here and I just think like, well, it'll probably be one of the high drafted quarterbacks. And obviously Cam Ward is the only quarterback that was drafted high this year. Jackson Dart, late first round pick, not going to start the season. And I do think Cam Ward's set up to have a season where he doesn't pee down his leg as a rookie, where he actually comes out and looks pretty good. Their offensive line, obviously they put a ton of resources into that this year. They flipped JC Latham back to the right tackle. I think him and Calvin Ridley are going to have a good connection. Elik Iomanner looks like he's won the X receiver job over Van Jefferson, which you better.
That's interesting.
I don't even care if you're a fourth round pick or fifth round pick or whatever. You better win that X receiver job over old Van Jefferson, who's like just the most snap route eating receiver in the league. Again, not a great like, oh man, he's coming into an awesome situation, but I think he comes into a pretty stable situation with a good good play caller. Reasonable, acceptable play caller in Brian Callahan. I like what he did last year, despite the Will Levis-ness of it all. Tony Pollard's a good starting running back. Like, there's some stuff to work with here. So there's a lot of interesting options. I'm sure we'll talk about a few of them here. But yeah, I went boring and I went Cam Ward too.
No, Cam Ward was can't even get that sentence out. I'm trying to defend you here. No, Cam Ward is one that I was like, I could build a case for this one just because everything you said. I actually think he's set up for like okay surroundings. I like the offensive line. I've been pretty bullish on him throughout this offseason process. I like enough of the receivers and also him and Calvin Ridley. It's like I can already see the chemistry. And Calvin could be hard to have chemistry with because he's just such a quick route runner. He can go rogue a little bit with his routes. Like he can be a little short. And Cam Ward is just a guy that can throw the ball to a spot and give his receiver a chance. And kind of like that. And this is not just me just, on the outside looking in. I've watched this in preseason already. I already see chemistry happening. So Kyler Murray stats that 2019 year. And that is a phenomenal, phenomenal, like, year comparison for how Cam Ward could win this award. He had 53% share of the votes. He finished with 3,700 yards, 3,722, 20 touchdowns, 12 picks, ran for 545 yards, 44 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So like you said, like a solid, didn't piss down my leg season. The Cardinals went 5-11-1 that year. So, or 5-10-1, sorry. So it wasn't a huge success year, playoff run or anything like that. Josh Jacobs came in second with 1,150 yards, seven touchdowns. AJ Brown came in third, 1,000 yards and eight touchdowns. Miles Sanders came in fourth with one vote.
Boy.
Who gave him a vote? Take it away. I'm gonna retcon this. Someone gave Miles Sanders a Rookie of the Year vote with 818 yards and three touchdowns when there was another rookie running back that had 1,150 yards and seven touchdowns. 500. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I'm going to figure that one out.
Release the votes. I love that. Release the vote count. I got it. We got to know. We got to know who gave Miles Sanders a vote.
Please. I pore over those every single year.
If you're listening, to this and you know somehow like this did get out and you remember, you got a better memory than us, which not hard to do if we're talking about me here. Tweet at us and let us know.
Yeah, I like that. No, and also when I wrote up Cam Ward as a prospect, I said I compared him to Kyler as far as a tier of a quarterback. Like, okay, this is not a blue chip, no doubter, but this is a very good prospect that, like, in this class is a good prospect. Like, in any class, he would go top 15. It's just that, you know, yeah, obviously we came from a year before that where there's three guys who are outstanding prospects in my eyes. So that was another thing with Cam Ward. All right, going on to my selection here. This probably isn't as surprising as, you know, especially you would know. I went with Tetteroa McMillan, receiver from the Panthers, who is at 14 to 1 to win the award on BetMGM. This is, you know, our guy Coker is out for a bit. I just think he's going to get force fed the ball. And I know it's going to be a run first team with Dave Canales, that O-line, Icky's out, but you know, they're going to be run first, but I just think he'll get those numbers that will get this award, an award that I think is wide open. Where if he gets just those AJ Brown numbers that I just brought up, as I just said, that as he loses the award to Kyler Murray, just over 1,000 yards, eight-ish touchdowns, maybe get the, you know, up there. But McMillan's got a play style that can get touchdowns. He can dunk on guys, get enough yak to run some in. So I think he can get some touchdowns as well, which matters for this award. We're looking at box score numbers. Got way too much football in the brain already, preview shows. But no, I went with McMillan. I'm high on him. I liked what I saw from the preseason. I think Bryce Young's going to force feed him and that he'll rack up the numbers because just of the other weapons that they have in the passing game as well.
Yeah, I don't know if you said what the odds were for this award, but I mean the odds that you would pick Tetteroa McMillan were probably like -150. You know, you got to give some respect to the field, but it was pretty heavy favorite that Nate was going to go McMillan here. I actually think like Garrett Wilson's rookie year is rather instructive. Yes. He won in 2022. Now, in fairness, the only quarterback that was the Kenny Pickett year, I believe, the 2022 is Kenny Pickett year. So, okay, I think Cam Ward is going to have a better rookie season than
the Matt Corral year.
Old Kenny Pickett. Yeah, woof. But 147 targets for Garrett Wilson, 83 catches and just over 1,100 yards as a rookie. I'm not going to say I'm going to project McMillan to, and just four touchdowns too, because it was obviously for a bad Jets team. I got the damn Panthers winning the NFC South, making the playoffs. So I think they're going to be better than the 2022 Jets as an offense for sure. So touchdowns could be a little higher. Maybe the receptions and targets are lower, but I do think a season like that, I'm not going to project it, but it's within the range of outcomes for McMillan. And yeah, like he's an interesting candidate. Obviously neither one of us brought up Ashton Jente, but he,
he's an easy case.
First round fantasy pick, like he could do it. Amarian Hampton could do it. Travion Henderson obviously had a great preseason. There's a lot of really interesting candidates. So I feel pretty ashamed that I just went boring. You know, I'll just take the quarterback. Went first overall, but a lot of interesting candidates for this one's going to be fun. I'm hoping at least. Not that I don't want Cam Ward to have a great season. I just picked him. I hope he does. But I hope this award is like very interesting by the end of the year to discuss.
Agreed. You know, and just because it's so spread out, I mean, anyone that's been playing fantasy or dynasty leagues too, you've known this already. Just like, wow, it's not just a quarterback thing. It's just like there's a couple of running backs. Like we didn't even mention Amarian Hampton, who's going to get plenty of usage. I know Najee Harris got cleared, but he's going to get plenty of usage in that Chargers offense. He was a first round pick. He's going to add juice.
I mean,
Travis Hunter, of course. Like, shoot, even Travion Henderson's getting around. I think that's going to be a split. So that one, Mecca Buka is going to be playing. But you just don't know like how the usage is going to be because they have so many mouths to feed on that offense. Shoot, Jackson Dart might start after a month and just go on a tear. And you get some New York hype around him. Like, just we're so high on the Packers with Jordan Love's breakouts because Matthew Golden turns out to be awesome. You know, there's so many RJ Harvey might get run. Caleb Johnson might be a perfect fit in that offense, that Steelers offense, and just gets tons of usage. Are we going too far there?
Yeah, too far. You need to talk about Jalen Warren's backup like that. It's fine.
Oh my God, I love Jalen Warren too. People are—it's so sad that Caleb Johnson's career is already over because
he had a good run.
He had a good run. Yeah, Caleb Johnson's 40-1. In case you're interested, Bill from the Commanders. Shoot, he's 30-1 right now. But a lot of cool names. RJ Harvey in there too. I think that's going to be a split. But you just don't know who's going to end up racking up those numbers as the season goes along. Defensive rookie of the year. I think this one's pretty interesting. I'm again ashamed of my answer, but Charles went with Abdul Carter. I'll just give mine. I also went with Abdul Carter. I'll explain why in a second. But Matt, who did you go with for defensive rookie of the year?
Yeah, because I went so boring with offensive rookie of the year, I wanted to go deeper for defensive rookie. So I took Ravens second round pick, Mike Green. He's a first round talent. He fell into the second round, in case you're just tuning in. He fell in the second round because of sexual assault allegations, like off-field stuff. So he is a first-round talent who they got in the second round. And like I said, when it's talking about Kyle Hamilton as a dark horse for defensive player of the year, he's a guy that they don't have that edge rusher. They don't have one of those guys, right? They don't have like a true take things over type player. If he just becomes like a double digit sack guy for one of the best defenses in the league, and you know, Abdul Carter, one of these other players, has a bit of a slower start, because I thought it's like Abdul Carter, and then I think there is a drop off to like the next name. Why can't like double digit sacks, one of the best teams in the league, people are going to be talking about him. Non-educated people are going to be like, why did he fall? Can't believe the Ravens got a second rounder out of Mike Greenwald. No. Obviously, it's pretty easy to see why. But again, there'll be a lot of pop on him in this scenario. So I could see him being a dark horse for this award.
Really, really like this. He led the FBS last year in sacks. He's got a ton of juice as a pass rusher. And totally, like you said, he's going to be on a prominent team. So if he just racks up a whole bunch of sacks for a team that wins a lot of games, that can win you the award. Especially like you said, should have been a first rounder, but obviously got dropped for valid reasons, I might add. You know, there's one thing to drop to the 20s, and there's one thing to drop to the 40s when everybody's in consensus thinks you're a top pick. So yeah, obviously serious stuff. But no, Mike Green's a great one. He's 12-1 right now. I almost went with Mykel Williams, again, continuing an offseason narrative that I just didn't want to stop, but I didn't. I went chalk and went Abdul Carter, who's at +225. That defense, I think, is going to be disgustingly good, at least the pass rush. Think he'll get some numbers. Think he'll get some cool moments as well, you know, where he gets after the passer right away. They're already lining him up on the interior, which I think is really cool. He's really good at going against guards, thinking of rack up numbers, got the New York stuff as well. This one's pretty easy, especially with the flashes he showed in the preseason. Easy to bet on this one. Travis Hunter, of course, is super interesting. I mean, it's just that I think everyone's in the same boat with him. It's like, got to see it. I just want to see what it looks like. And then I can feel like, all right, yeah, he's going to be a receiver. He's going to be a corner. Oh, no, he is both. Like, okay. Jahad Campbell for the Eagles defense at linebacker could get some sack numbers in that as well because they blitz him a lot. That's another good one. He's at 1,400. And yeah, I mean, looking else, it's like you got to rack up sack numbers. If James Pierce racks him up on a Falcons defense that surprises us, he could be one. But just looking through the names, it's kind of, you know, you're chasing sacks, it feels like here. All right. Protector of the year. New award. Offensive lineman. What's the guys that they'll tell you, don't worry, that they don't get any attention or any love, even though they're one of the highest paid positions, one of the most highly drafted positions, and one of the most highly recruited positions, do not get any love, now have an award. Protector of the year. Think they this is Andrew Whitworth's brain, little baby, which I love. I think Andrew is just like an all-time guy, all-time mind, especially you see him on Amazon Prime and stuff right now, which is great. But they have a committee now, six players, a six-man panel: Orlando Pace, Jason Kelsey, LaCharles Bentley, Will Shields, and Sean O'Hara. Two tackles, two guards, two centers, which I really, really like that aspect with the panel. There's going to be other, you know, people that contribute stuff. They're really looking at statistics. They got a whole system they're looking at here. They're really taking this seriously, which I think is really cool. They're going to try and get some coaches and media input as well on this, but hard to find odds So even for me going through this, I was kind of like, all right, just building the case before I kick it over to you, Matt. It's just that I looked at the typical award winners for the Outland Trophy, which is offensive, defensive line award in college football. And it's, you know, it's offensive, defensive line. All right, who's going to be the most prominent people? The guys that rack up stats and the guys on the best teams. So the typical winners are on the most prominent winning teams. The last 10 winners, the schools, Texas, Michigan, Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, Alabama. Ed Oliver, who was a number one recruit, went to Houston. So that was a whole weird thing. He won it. Alabama and then Stanford. I had no idea Joshua Garnett won it, or Garnett won it, the Outland Trophy, but that was when Stanford was ranked third. They won the Rose Bowl against Iowa, so a very good team at Stanford. So I built the case with some name recognition. I'm curious, who was your prediction for the first Protector of the Year award, Matt? I'm curious what case you built.
Okay, first of all, I like how there's a little bit of this kind of eye-rolling tone that you have towards this award, even though you are like an offensive line guy.
No, sorry.
Let me say it again. Not the award itself, but the the underdog, like little like lack of attention, the victim complex of the offensive line community. Yes. You're rolling your eyes at that. Man. Correct.
Yeah.
You're rolling your eyes at that friends. A little bit.
My dad coached offensive right. line. I can say this stuff. I can roll my eyes.
Okay. So that's what that I'm. You're doing that, not me. Let me be clear. Not me. Okay, just Nate. But so I just wanted to note that I like that little tone that you've got towards this. This is good.
Bus run
because I also did. Right. Because I did not realize that we had such an advanced way to decide this award. Like we've gotten to a point where. Man, everything else is like in the dark ages, like archaic. Oh, it's just going to be sort by best teams, good players. And now we've really gone out of our way to assuage the offensive linemen on this one. So I like that, by the way. This is good. We are maybe overcorrecting, but it's better to overcorrect than to undercorrect.
I love it.
That being said, I went with name recognition. I went with Trent Williams on this one. It feels like he should be like a lifetime achievement Protector of the Year award. If they had this one, he probably would have won it multiple times over the 49ers run. And listen, mm-hmm. you can't be talking about the 49ers offense without, you know, the smartest person in the room being like, yeah, they have McCaffrey and all these other guys, but don't forget they've got Trent Williams, who's like the best player. He's the best player on the team. So, yeah, I like this one as a potential kind of, again, like lifetime achievement, but I also think he's going to have a great year. And if the 49ers, which to me, they were the third team in the NFC for me, if that happens, yeah, the defense got back to some acceptable level, but it's also because the offense kicked ass again. And if the offense kicks ass, it's probably because Trent Williams at damn near 40 years old had another all-pro season, which I can totally envision happening. So again, like lifetime achievement, but sort of biggest winner here.
I thank you for using Trent Williams because that's, to me, the favorite for this. And I just everything you laid out, he's not only one of the best offensive linemen in the league, best tackles in the league, gets highlights as well because of the dominance that he plays with, even if he is still he's in his mid-30s. It's remarkable. And also, yeah, like you said, the 49ers bounce back. And they were hard to keep off the playoff team. It was just more defensive questions than anything the offense is going to do. So, yeah, that was my favorite when I was looking at this award because really my short list was, all right, who has name recognition? Who's on a big team? Who already has some part, they're part of the football zeitgeist. You know, when people are watching the Eagles, people know who Lane Johnson is. Yeah, maybe not as much as Jason Kelce, but you know Lane Johnson over time. Now Jordan Mailata has got a lot of prominence as well. Those are the other two I looked at, but then I was like, I think they eat each other's votes. They kind of, that's what hinders them. It's kind of like, back when Miami and USC were rolling in college football and like Ken Dorsey, 8 votes from one of the running backs and everything. I'm looking at a lot of college football for this one for some reason. Penei Sewell was another one. Right tackle, really good offensive lineman. If this was last year's award, maybe like he should be up there. He's going to be on the short list, I think. He gets highlights too. He catches freaking footballs, or he has, but Ben Johnson's not there anymore. Still think he is going to be a very dominant player and up there as well. But those are the guys I kind of limited to. Other guys I looked at was like Tristan Wirfs, but he's missing the first 4 games. So that one, he got knocked out, even though I would have had him maybe as the favorite if he started week 1.
Yeah.
Deion Dawkins was another one, maybe the Hard Knocks boost. Joe Tooney, if the Bears get a little narrative, you know, oh man, they make the playoffs. Caleb Sack doesn't get sacked anymore. And Joe Tooney's the leader of that. Okay, maybe that. All right. A lot of long-winded way to get to my actual selection. Creed Humphrey, center for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think this is the year of, oh, centers are important in the national discussion. You know, Jason Kelce got a little bit of that in his last year or two. But really, oh, centers. Oh, and if the Chiefs offense boosts back up. Oh, and who's the guy that's the best player on there? Well, Creed Humphrey, who is the best center in the game, I believe, right now, especially with Frank Ragnow retiring. So Creed Humphrey on a team that's going to be get a lot of prominence. And then, you know, when if you're on a team that's going to be playing seven national TV games and always in the discussion, people need new angles. So if, you know, Rashee Rice is out for a little bit, Xavier Worthy was last year's first round pick. Okay, maybe Josh Simmons gets some hype, but then they go, well, Creed Humphrey really helped out Kingsley Suamataia and Josh Simmons. You know, this is me just building the narrative for it. So Creed Humphrey, because he's on one of those blue blood teams of the NFL, is a fantastic player. Then maybe the centers are going to get some love this year. And I think Creed, and there's a lot of young, fun young ones. And Creed Humphrey, though, is, I think, the best of the group. So that's a lot of discussion for the Protector of the Year award. I am, I was pretty juiced up to talk about this. If you can't tell, I had a lot of notes on this section.
I like that there's a committee for this. There's a committee for this. This is yeah. good. And Jason Kelce throws his weight around and the committee gets it for a center in year one. Listen, most nationally recognized, globally recognized person in that room.
On his brother's team.
And on his brother's team, his position. Now we've locked in the narrative. Best odds now to have to go to Creed Humphrey after Football 301 has uncovered the conspiracy.
There's no conspiracies. Yeah. We'll see who wins this. I'm sure I'll have something. I'm sure something to pick at. No, that was a lot of fun, Matt. Any just real quick before we wrap it up, any takes you want back from the last month or so? Or, you know, I kind of retconned my Vikings back. So that was one, maybe my NFC North preview I wanted back a little bit. So that was mine. Did you have one that maybe on your head?
That's a good one. I think that and having the Bills as a top 10 defense, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, that was stupid. I think that's that one
like
I want
said,
back.
I about it. Yeah. Oh, I Rams top five offense. That one's a little scary right now, but I still like.
Yeah, fair enough. That one is definitely. Anything Rams, like, I also, if by the way, we get to week five and they're like burning down the league, I might want my like Rams skepticism back. My buddy Sigmund Bloom always says, like, you can be right and wrong about things in the course of, like, over the course of a single season. And that Rams offense one might be like, oh, Nate, you were totally right. Top five offense? Absolutely. Because Stafford's healthy for the first 5 weeks of the season. And then by week seven, him and Charles are both on IR with back injuries. And then I look smart for having skepticism about them. So they're definitely one of those teams that can make you look right and wrong.
I'm going to be hitting up producer Stone. Hey, can you find that clip? It was top 10 offenses. I said some nice things and said they're going to have a good offense. All right. And then if they struggle, can you find that clip from the NFC West preview when I said I was down on them because of the bad back and I made some jokes about it? Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. That's all I need. No, it's great. Just play both sides. Play all sides. That's what's great. But thank you so much for joining me, Matt. I love the awards prediction shows. One of my favorite shows of the year. And when we do it at the end of the year as well, I think this can be a really fun football season. Football season is always fun. I think this one's going to be so wide open. Like I said, new blood is the term I keep coming back to. I think there's something to this season where we have these cool young quarterbacks, you know, middle age in NFL terms with the Lamar, Mahomes, you know, those guys, Josh Allen's of the world. We got a bunch of cool younger guys, second year guys that are going to be a narrative of this league. I think the NFC is just going to be a discussion point because I think it's going to be a wide open bloodbath. It's the Fury Road. So let's get going on this NFL season. We're closing it out. Charles and I will be back on Thursday to preview that juicy week one. Should be a ton of fun. I'm Nate Tice. You can find me at Nate_Tice on social media. That is Matt Harmon. You can find him at Matt_BYB. Anything you're working on? I know you got so much on the fantasy forecast. You got week one rankings. You got everything over there. If you're doing last minute drafts, maybe check out some of Matt's stuff as well. We still got a couple more days to get those drafts in. So anything else, Matt, that you're working on?
No, yeah. Biggest month ever for the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast from an audio perspective. We launched the YouTube as well. So, Nate, you will be on the show tomorrow with us talking fantasy film room, as you will be every week. So, if you like this show, obviously you're a big Nate Tice fan. Come check us out every week on the Fantasy Film Room episode.
Yeah, we flip seats. Matt interviews me.
Yeah.
It's great. And I get to ramble in that seat. It's the best. I love it. And I don't have to think of questions. It's even better. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. So we'll get recording on that tomorrow. Can't wait. We did the tight ends preview, which is a lot of fun. But yes, make sure you subscribe to us, follow us, rate us 5 stars. Pretty please. If you don't, you can say it on Twitter or something, or on Blue Sky. Also, watch us on YouTube, on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. So make sure to subscribe there as well and rate us there as well. Make sure you check out the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, all of our great fantasy content as well. Inside coverage, we got so much good stuff here on Yahoo. Thanks to Stone, Madison, and Ingrid behind the scenes for making us look and sound good. Thank you all for listening. See y'all next time.